Yes, I am the world. I'm John Batchelor with my colleague and friend Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. North Korea, darkness visible, and yet geography tells a tale. The Yalu River to the north with China, the Tumen River to the northeast with Russia. Along that river is the lifeline for millions of people, for food, for goods, for the black market. To help us understand that story now, here in 2023, we welcome David Maxwell, our guide on the Korean Peninsula for many years. David's at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. David, I tell an anecdote I recall when we last talked about the river crossing between North Korea and China, that the bridge, I remember vividly sitting there looking at that. That's it? That's all of it? The bridge was either closed or extremely restricted because of fears on one side or the other about the pandemic. At that time, we had no knowledge of how the pandemic was racing through North Korea. Has that bridge reopened? Has the conversation, the dialogue, the trade on that bridge reopened? And what about the black markets that trade all along that river? Good evening to you, David.
Good evening, John, and good evening, Gordon. Yes, that the river, the bridge is still, I don't think, completely open. There's been some lifting of restrictions for some trade, and there's been speculation that they will resume trade between North Korea and China, but everything is still restricted, and particularly smuggling across the border that would normally take place at different crossing points in the river. There has really been a severe crackdown by North Korea, by the regime. And this is really what I call the COVID paradox. Kim tried to defend Korea against COVID. They're deathly afraid of it because if there's a widespread outbreak, it could be devastating, particularly within the military. But Kim also used the excuse of COVID to implement further draconian population and resources control measures. And this is really to stop the flow of goods from China into North Korea, and particularly the smuggling that is really used to run these 400 markets. And I really think that when you really look at this, this is Kim's fear of his own people. And with the rising markets, the use of foreign currency, the growth of capitalist tendencies within North Korea has really been the lifeline for the people going back to the Great Famine of 1994 to 96. And we're seeing conditions that may be far worse. And they're all of Kim Jong-un's own doing. His policies to try to continue to oppress the Korean people in the North in order for him to remain in power is really, really tragically harming the 25 million Koreans in the North.
Gordon, you have a question.
Dave, you talk about these informal markets as being the lifeblood of the North Korean economy. This is where people in the North get their goods. This is where they trade. This is where much of their livelihood comes from. With a crackdown on informal markets, does this mean that the economy of North Korea is further undermined, or do they have other ways of getting by without markets?
No, that's the problem, is the public distribution system failed during the famine of 94 to 96, and that's why these markets grew. And over time, Kim Jong-il and then Kim Jong-un, they gave semi-official, quasi-official recognition of these markets. And because, of course, they use them also, their corruption within the party, they would use these markets as ways for themselves to make money. But they were the lifeline. This is why it's so I'm so worried about internal instability in North Korea, because I don't see any other lifeline other than this kind of market activity. The party cannot step in and do anything. I mean, last year they spent $650 million on the missile launches. That money could have been used to purchase enough food to feed the entire 25 million Koreans in the North. Kim Jong-un chose to use that money for his nuclear program, for his missiles. He is not concerned with the welfare of the Korean people, and that could really come back to bite him.
The Yalu River is famous in American lore. In 1950, the MacArthur forces reached the Yalu before the catastrophe of Thanksgiving of that year in the counterattack when the Chinese came across 500,000 men, and the Korean War is still ongoing all these decades later. However, the Tumen River is new to me, David. And the suggestion here is that the black market is in existence. Is it fertile business with the Tumen River trading into Russia? Does Russia vouchsafe that kind of winking economy?
Well, yes, I think there's only 17 kilometers of a border between Russia and North Korea. And so the bridge to Dandong is really important. I think the Russians do turn a blind eye somewhat to smuggling, but it really takes the entire border with China and Russia to really function for the illicit activities in the black market. It's important, that small little crossing, but it's really the entire border that is necessary for the Korean people to exploit to be able to survive. And in the Yalu, or in the Korean name, the Anak River, there are crossing points, particularly in the winter, that you can wade across, and so that people can actually walk across. And that's why so much smuggling has been able to occur. But now they've created these border walls and fences and reinforced with guards to really crack down on this activity. And it's for both ways, people trying to escape and goods coming in.
Is the Tumen River an exit for those trying to escape? Do the Russians permit that?
Well, they don't permit it, but it happens. And, up in the northeast, that province, Hamgung, is one of the areas where many escapees do come from. They escape across there, then go to China, go to Mongolia, and try to get to South Korea. So it is a crossing point, certainly. There's also a lot of Koreans that are working in the Russian Far East, particularly the logging propriety that's taking place. So there's a large number of Koreans, overseas laborers, that are working for North Korea and for Russian entities that are exploiting the logging in Siberia.
Gordon, you have a question.
Dave, because the markets are essential, and because the markets depend on Chinese goods, if they are successful in North Korea of closing off the border with China, with the fences and the guard posts and other things you talk about, what does that mean for the North Korean economy?
Well, the North Korean economy, I think, it's already, among the worst in the world. But they are still producing, there were reports that they did export recently a large amount of human hair for wigs, that go to China, and then they're given Chinese labels because obviously they can't be exported due to sanctions. They are exporting some clothing and things like that, but their economy has collapsed long ago. And so what's really keeping the economy going is North Korea's illicit activities. You just read about the $35 million cyber heist. North Korea has really become very adept at using its all-purpose sword of cyber to find ways to make money, to support the regime. But their economy is really, for all intents and purposes, collapsed. Some factories are working, but most everything that is functioning is focused on supporting the regime, and in particular, the military. And so there is no real economy and a consumer economy like we would see even in China as another tyrannical country. China is much more liberalized economically than North Korea.
We have about a minute, David. The North Koreans attempted to launch what they called a surveillance or spy satellite. It failed. They claim they're going to launch again. Is this their ballistic missile program, or do they genuinely have a space program?
I think the rockets that they're using are ballistic missiles. I think they're the same that are in ICBMs. I think this is a contribution to the ICBM program, but using, the excuse of launching satellites. And they've tried to launch satellites going back to the late 1990s. None of them have really been effective or done anything more than perhaps play some martial music. And of course, we should keep in mind that South Korea just launched a satellite. Launched a vehicle which put into orbit five satellites that they are communicating with. South Korea has a lunar orbiter that is transmitting data from, circumventing the moon. So South Korea is so much more advanced than North Korea, and But I think that North Korea, Kim Jong-un, is trying to use his space program, with air quotes there, to support his ICBM development.
David Maxwell is senior fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. He is also a senior fellow at the Global Peace Foundation. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, writing at Gatestone, Newsweek, and The Hill. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.